Oh, there's the other gym.
Call the meeting to order, the Library Joint Powers Board, Monday, May 4th. Before we go to closed session, are there any comments? We don't have any.
No, you say it anyway. You're being recorded.
Any comments on items in the closed session? Seeing none, we will retire for closed session and resume the public meeting at 6:45.
Oh.
Yes.
You got here too late, huh?
No, this is the Library Joint Powers Board meeting Monday, May 4th. Please call the roll.
Supervisor Friend.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Reed.
Here.
Councilmember Bertrand.
Bertrand.
I haven't practiced that one yet. Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Citizen Member Campbell.
Here.
Citizen Member Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Member Mosier.
Here.
The next item is approval of the agenda. Is there any discussion?
Move to approve the agenda.
Second. Motion by Councilmember Terrazas, second by Councilmember Matthews. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Approved unanimously. Oral communications. Is there anyone in the public who would like to address the board on something not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will continue. The report out.
Oh, wait, you've got the presentation. Jennifer's
presentation. Yeah, okay, presentation. I'm falling down on the
jungle. You're trying to beat David's record.
Yeah. All right, hi, my name is Jennifer Cockrell, and I'm a reference librarian. I'm on the reference team. And I'm here tonight just to get an update on the Santa Cruz Public Library's Veterans History Project and where we are at this point. TV's warming up. Okay, great. So far, our first interview we did was on March 25th of last year. We have done 14 interviews so far, 13 men, one woman. The woman we interviewed was a Red Cross volunteer during the Vietnam War. So far, I'm right now working on getting together 12 postcards from World War I, sending those off to Library of Congress. That's been really fun. We've interviewed 7 World War II veterans, 2 Korean War veterans, and 4 veterans from Vietnam. And one of those, like I said, was a Red Cross volunteer. All right. Also from Vietnam, we've submitted 10 photographs, as well as about 70 pages of memoir writings from one of our veterans. Okay. We've also done one interview with an Iraq War veteran. And he's decided not to contribute to the Library of Congress, just to ask libraries. Yeah. I'm very pleased about that he still wants to contribute. Okay, so far we have 5 in the Santa Cruz Public Library's catalog, and I wanted to give you an idea of what they look like. The Veterans History Project, just a simple search. When I type that in, I get the first one. Is Veterans History Project an interview with Kenneth M. Stewart. He's a Vietnam veteran. So I'm going to click on the record, and it gives, each record will give an overview of the veteran, where they served, when, what battles they're involved in, if they were involved in any battles. So that's it. So we have a copy of each of these interviews at each of our branches, as well as one in our local history rooms. We have 13 copies made up. So we have 5 so far ready to go in our catalog, and we have 8 so far that the Library of Congress has actually cataloged and put in their catalog. Let me show you that. And this is new. About 2 weeks ago, there were just 3. So I've been monitoring it. It takes them about 6 months to once you send it off, for them to catalog your collections. So I'm just going to go to search the veterans' collections. And the fun thing about this I like to do, just type in our library. This in, and there we are. So we have 8 collections, and not all of the ones that we have in there so far, they're not digitized, so you can't see them online yet, but if you visit the Library of Congress, you can listen to them, you can look at the photographs that have been donated, and the writing. So let me click on Kenneth M. Stewart, because I'm going to show a couple clips of his interview. And each veteran gets a page of their own that explains their collection and all the details. And that's it for Library of Congress. So now I just want to show a couple clips from one of our interviews from Kenneth M. Stewart. He served in the Vietnam War. He was a pilot, and he did two tours.
My younger years were always associated with the Air Force. Not that I necessarily knew everything the Air Force did, but I can remember as a young child seeing one of the first flybys of the Thunderbirds, and they, back then, they used to do an occasional supersonic flyby. And I can remember as the planes went by, I didn't hear anything, and I turned to my father and I said, "Dad, why can't I hear anything?" He said, "Just wait." And then there was a boom. Years later, at the Air Force Academy, when Robin Olds, who was a Vietnam ace, came and became our commandant, we had a flyby one day by F-105, which was a single-engine supersonic bomber used primarily in Vietnam. It was a very rock-solid bomber, but a lot of those guys got shot down. But they did a flyby. We were all out on the Carrasco in formation, and they came over very low, like at about 50 feet in formation, and I saw them pop. And you can see the hospital. The academy's built on hills, and you can see the hospital on another hill far away from where we're standing, and I saw them come up over the hospital and go back down. As they got closer, I didn't hear anything, and I thought, uh-oh. And sure enough, they had slipped into the supersonic range, and as they went over, then the boom hit. It actually knocked a few people over, but it's on one side of the dining hall, and the entire side of the dormitory we were standing in front of knocked the windows out. And that's a pretty good knock, because those windows were built to withstand gale force loads in the winter there. So it flexed. When the wind blew in the winter, you could see the window flex, the windows flex in and out, and it's still, there were just shards in there. It was quite impressive. We had some fun flights, some routes called Poker Deck routes, where we were lower and not under so much radar control, especially out over the desert. We had one, it was always a lot of fun. It was somewhere out over Nevada, and we came over this intersection of two roads, and there was a truck stop there, and a little diner. And B-52, when it comes in low level, you don't hear it, you don't see it, and then all of a sudden there's an aluminum overcast coming at you. And we would be flying down, and we'd see the diner coming up over the hill. And okay, and just as we pop up over the hill, we open the bomb doors. Of course, we had nothing in them. And you could see people bailing out. We had our chances to have some fun. I had two incidents with SAMs being fired at me that I would call white knuckle events, where the first one was the first time a SAM was fired at me. Most of the time they were firing at the other airplanes, and I'm just watching them. But this one I watched coming up, and it was kind of close. And then it bent over, and it was obviously, because they would go up and they would level off generally and start coming at you. And I'm watching. You steer toward it when it's fired at you. You turn towards the missile. And then I realized, oops, and you roll into something that's called a modified square. So you basically roll the airplane on its back and you pull through. And the SAM can't keep up with you. All I can remember thinking when I did that is that I waited too long. But I pulled out the bottom and it went off harmlessly up there and climbed back up and we kept orbiting.
This Wednesday, I'm doing a talk at the Sons in Retirement meeting. And I just wanted to say, Jeannie Zarnicki, information specialist, doing an outstanding job doing the interview, and she's just fantastic. And Julie Richardson's been helping with her indexing and preparing the interviews to go to Library of Congress and Jasper's Award. So that's it. Thank you.
Just a quick question. How do you find veterans who are willing to participate? Or is there advertising, or how are you reaching out to them?
Yeah, we have this flyer that Mylay McGrew-Perday put together. We have a slide on our homepage, on our website. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to the local veteran services officer, and he's got flyers up in his office. I've done a talk at the Dominican Oaks retirement community, and quite a few of those veterans there talked to us. And we're by map. having it. What the reason why we're speaking at Sons in Retirement is because our one of our Vietnam War veterans is part of that group, and he said he have to come. There's a lot of veterans, you have to come. So a lot of us were by mouth.
Right now, the only way you could see the interviews is to come to the library, right?
No, you can check them out.
But you can check them out, but you can't see them yet online.
Not online at the Library of Congress. They have about 10% of their collections digitized, and they're getting all the books coming in.
But we could get them through the checking out the DVD.
Right.
So you can request them through the catalog.
Just right.
Just out of curiosity, so if a vet says I was a participant in these particular operations, do you do any research to confirm that?
To confirm there? No. We do research in the sense we prepare, we look at their, they fill a simple form with their data as far as when they served and where, and we prepare as far as where they are and prepare in preparation for the interview. That's the type of research we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you. Since we did oral communications out of order.
Actually, I wanted to say something.
Teresa.
Not that anyone in public here, but I just wanted to publicly acknowledge for the recorder that this is my last library board meeting, and all I can say is that it's been quite a ride these past 6 years, and I'll never forget. And I am honored to have worked with so many strong library supporters and appreciate all that I've learned from many of you. So thank you.
Did you have that just?
What an event.
I'm good.
The report out from closed session, the board met with labor negotiator, and there are no reportable actions were taken at the meeting. Staff recognition.
Well, we have two, and representative from LIT is here. Although she's not named in the nomination, but her staff is, so in their honor. And Kevin Hildreth is here, and Kevin is, and whoever Anonymous is, they really got it right, because he's Kevin is great, and Kevin is out in Felton now, since we had some people moving around. So thank you, Kevin, and representing all the nominees.
Well. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to recognize the staff and have this opportunity at the board meeting for the board to recognize the staff. And tonight, I particularly would like to recognize the staff person, and that is our departing director, Teresa Landers.
Thank you.
I have to say that Teresa charted a course through very rocky times and actually brought us to a better place, I think, in the years that I certainly have known her and have used the library, brought us into the 21st century. She's given us a laundry list of things, a new integrated library system, expanded programming, I've written some of these down, more robust collection, Lucky Day collections, expanded electronic resources, laid the groundwork for and improved facilities with our facility master plan, the beginnings of that. Didn't see it all the way through, but it started, and it got us going on that. A lot to do, a very impressive record in a very short period of time. As a board member, I've appreciated her ability to keep the board on track with all the projects that are going on, and I wish you best wishes in your pursuits in Botswana, which will become a better organized.
We'll see. May have met my challenge.
So that's advice. I think so staff recognition is important. So.
Thank you.
Anything else? The Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries report.
Hello. Hi, everybody. My name is Rebecca Suze, and I'm the newest board member for the Friends of the Library. I'm here to give you a little update of what we've been up to in April. So I'm not sure if you guys knew, but on April 16th, we partnered with New Leaf in Capitola for Community Days. And that day, the grocery store donated 5% of their sales to the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries. And also, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Dirty Girls, which is really awesome in the area, but we partnered with them for their April 18th bout, and they presented the Friends with $250 during halftime. And we also hosted a volunteer appreciation party with the Santa Cruz Public Library's volunteer office, and Denise was extremely helpful in helping coordinate that. That was on April 19th at the Scotts Valley Library, so I think we saw some of you guys there. And we had approximately 35 volunteers there. Teresa Landers served ice cream, so that was a great highlight. And Janice also gave tours of the branch, which people said that they really, really enjoyed. On April 21st, we hosted an author, Jamie, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, Biancotti? Something like that. But anyways, he was the author for A Bicycle Built for $2 Billion. And so he had a talk at the downtown library on April 21st, and that was really great. And to say more importantly, what's coming up next is we have our annual spring book sale on May 16th, that Saturday. And it's going to be in the parking lot next to the downtown library, same day as the Greek Festival, so you all should come out, buy some books, and, you know, furthermore support the library, which you guys are definitely part of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any member reports? The consent agenda, are there any members of the board or the public that would like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
I'll move approval of consent.
Okay. I'll second.
You second? Yeah. Okay, motion by Supervisor Clown, seconded by Council Member Matthews. All in favor?
Aye. Yeah, she asked for something.
So we get the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous approval. Okay, so now we are on to the budget here.
Okay.
And we'll turn it over to
okay. So what you have in front of you is actually a little bit different than what went out about 10 days ago, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It's not super different, but it's enough that I marked it revised. The refinements are what I showed you in February and March, following the same priorities and principles that you gave me in terms of developing the budget. Between the posting for the hearing and last week, we realized that we'd been trading versions with Marcus, and at some point we used one from the wrong day, and that's the one that got posted, so we wanted to make sure we got the right one posted. We also discovered that we were not entitled to the 2004 triple flip tax funds. State took other money from us, who knows what, but not that money apparently.
Bruce.
So, Bruce. Go ahead.
You can explain the triple flip.
I can't explain it, but
yeah.
So, and we also are using the amended budget rather than the adopted budget. In the last couple of days, we found some other small things that actually are to our favor that we need to fix, but those are real minor. We've really tried to keep the non-personnel parts of the budget as flat as possible, knowing that there's challenges in the future. The new bookmobile is being totally bought out of vehicle reserve. I actually would like to take credit for that, for establishing one of the first things, even in our dire times, we established a vehicle reserve fund when I got here. We've been putting $50,000 aside each year, knowing that we were due for a new bookmobile. We've pushed the bookmobile out another year in order to have more money. So it's painless now to buy this new bookmobile. And the beauty of it is the next bookmobile, 15, 20 years from now, we don't have to put quite as much aside every year. There is inflation. We have to account for that, but we don't have to catch up so quickly. So all the vehicles we're buying now are coming out of the reserve, and that's great. I mean, that's... it's kind of a quiet accomplishment, but I'm very proud of that one. So that's basically all I'm going to say about the budget, and I'll entertain questions.
The landscaping costs.
The paper was wrong. If you're referring to the newspaper article, we doubled landscaping costs. This year we had to cut the service in half because we had to be paying prevailing wage, which was really twice as much. So this year, in order to preserve the budget, we cut it in half, and then for next year, we actually doubled the landscaping budget. They got it totally opposite. So, I mean, it's a $16,000, so it's an additional $16,000 to bring us to providing the same level of service in landscaping as we did last year. Although Denise has gotten some great volunteers. I think Scotts Valley is now having some volunteer, two new volunteer landscapers for the back part. So, so that's something else we can use.
And, you know, the work plan priorities, improving customer experience and making necessary building improvements. So where we are, I mean, what are some of these examples that to...
Well, improving the customer experience, the position that we're adding for the telephone is going to help. We added one position last year, and that covers 40 hours. This position will allow us to have somebody dedicated to phone reference all the hours we're open, which then frees up the other staff that we're having to cover when this person wasn't there, 25 hours a week plus we have to give her things like breaks and lunch. And she takes vacations. So there's staff that we're filling in, library assistants in the circulation department, reference librarians, information specialists. They're now freed up to provide more direct customer service to the public. So that's kind of, we're always trying to look at what can we do to serve our customers better. So some of it's staff training, too, making sure that we have a well-trained staff that can handle what comes in. And that's everything from security issues to, how do I find a book on something? So it runs the gamut. So staff training kind of falls within there as well. The building improvements, we've identified, and I don't know that I have the list with me, but we've identified some things. There's some painting at Branza 40. It's outside painting. Can you remember the others? I can't remember them right now. But they're things that mostly are on the outside of some of the buildings for maintenance purposes, and so not the buildings that are going to go away. But buildings that are still going to be there, even though we may work on the inside, there's still things on the outside. The only one I can think of offhand is...
Some windows.
Yeah, there's windows somewhere. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on them.
Page 30.
Or do I actually have it there?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh,
yeah. Replacing the tile at Boulder Creek. Windows. Ceiling at Garfield. Exterior of Live Oak, not the exterior of Brands 40. Painting the exterior of Live Oak. So kind of all around the system.
On the first page, and I think it's repeated at another time, that we say that there's funding for participating in the June 2016 election. I wonder if we should just say that in a somewhat different way, that we're not really participating in the election, but we'll be providing information.
I think it's different. It's paying the cost of holding an election.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that all that's being referred
yes.
to in that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, the other money, the...
thanks for the clarification.
Thank you, Cynthia. The Miller-Maxfield money was paid for this year and is in a project that will just automatically carry into next year. So it continues through next January, but we don't have to, it's not an actual carryover because it's, we get put in something called a project and just doesn't have to get approved, just goes through.
Okay.
So that will continue, but that is not, that's separate.
Got it. Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on the budget? Seeing none, we'll...
I'm really pleased that we're moving forward with more monies allocated towards supplies, and now it's like 10.6%. We're looking at 12%, and that was something we talked about. We've made a lot of investment in technology, and I'm really happy with the financial situation we are as to where it was several years ago. So I'm happy to move the budget that's outlined.
No, it's just direction. Is there anything you want to see changed in the next one?
And
Proceed.
Just proceed.
Right.
Yes, you get to see it one more time.
However, the Finance Subcommittee will be meeting on
May 18th,
for further consideration, and that will be open to the public as well. So, and then we will vote on the
actual budget on June 8th.
Board meeting.
And so just to actually get it on the record, there's no board member that's interested in a meeting at the end of May for the bylaws. I think we should actually delineate that we're comfortable with the June 8th. Okay.
Under other
Benefits, we've made a motion.
Do we not
need a motion?
It was just to provide direction.
Just to provide direction. So, yeah, it's fine. I'm not hearing that there's any... The minutes can reflect. The minutes can reflect that there were no requests for any changes. You will see a few minor things that we've discovered that need tweaking, but they're... Actually, all to our favor.
Under other business, the final report from the Subcommittee on Governance.
I'll briefly introduce the item. There are three of the Subcommittee members, myself, Councilmember Matthews and Councilmember Reed. Councilmember Termini is also on the subcommittee, as well as staff. This actually, the report you have outlines really the information as we decided to recommend. I'll say that we incorporated some of the comments that were made at the last meeting, some of the concerns about regarding the legal and that stuff that Citizen Member Mosher had made, and also being very specific to outline the language about at the commencement of the agreement that there will be a contract in place for employment and HR and payroll with the City of Santa Cruz, although the length of that is to be determined. Right now, we also reemphasized our last meeting the need to ensure that this information, once it went through legal review, be shared with the unions. They had come forward, as you know, the last, well, specifically SAU had come forward the last one to request that, and that is something that the City of Santa Cruz has agreed to take the lead on once the legal review is complete. My understanding is that both County Council and the City Attorney are really just doing the cleanup language associated with it. There aren't substantive changes that are being proposed by Council. So I think what you see in front of you is really what will be the substance of what comes forward in the NZ agreement that will go out to the jurisdictions and for this body to provide one last bit of information on at our next meeting. But as you know, ultimately, as I know that Councilmember Reed has said a number of times, it's really within the jurisdictions to make this determination, so it's an input body. But I'm confident that what we put together is something that the jurisdictions will support, and there was a lot of support at the table, a lot of good, healthy discussion about what is best for the library moving forward and what's best from a governance standpoint. Now, the LFA component has also made some movement that's outside of this scope, but from this component, I think that we've come up with something very good. I think the consultant we have was very good in helping guide the discussion. We looked at a lot of other library models and thought that this really was the best for our area moving forward. So, anybody has any specific questions of us three that were on it? I'd have to direct your, as well as Lisa, who was also present.
I have a question. When do you anticipate the legal review will be done by?
Any time now. It went to Scotts Valley. It should be. I when I was asked by the Scotts Valley City Attorney how long she had, I said, "Well, how about within 2 weeks?" And that's coming up this week. So, and I did see Tony Condotti the other night, and he said he didn't see anything substantive. I haven't had a chance to check in with Martine to see if he's heard anything, but I really expect it to be any day now. Nicole, do you know anything for county?
I'm working on the cleanup for county council, so hopefully I can wrap that up this week or next week at the very latest. And last time I talked to Scott, the city attorney was still looking at it. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully by next week it will, I would really like to know that it's, I would really like it out there before I leave. I'll accomplish something. And the intent is when it goes to the unions, we'll also send a copy out to the board members. Not for discussion, obviously, on based on Brown Act. We just couldn't have it ready for this meeting.
I have. I just want to make sure I understand. I think you clarified, Zach, that this board will receive information at its next meeting. And it's not, this board will not actually vote to recommend anything, or
it's really not right. It's not
it's
really
the jurisdiction.
That's right. So it doesn't really have anybody to recommend it to, right?
Exactly.
I mean, individually, and actually, there is a reasonable argument to be made that since some of the elected officials on this board will be voting on it in a different capacity as well, that we shouldn't prejudge our decision by an actual vote of recommendation.
So there will be no action at this board.
There'll be an information session. I mean, people should share their thoughts on it because we'll be hearing it in a different capacity. But since a number of us will vote on it in a different way, it should be an information-only item.
Content-wise, what you see here translated into legalese. Uh-huh. Is pretty much what the agreement is.
I agree. I believe that this summary really captured the key points of what we came up with. Okay.
Is there any public comment? Yes, go ahead.
My name is Elaine Anderson. I've been a library employee since June of 1997. And I'd like to speak about my concerns with possible employee status with the new library GPA agreement. In the February 26th staff report from the Library Joint Powers Board Ad Hoc Committee, Subcommittee on Governance, to the Joint Powers Board that was presented at the March meeting, it stated that the subcommittee affirms the earlier Library Joint Powers Board directive that employees be held harmless. In Teresa's summary of the March meeting that went out to staff, she explained that the subcommittee was speaking about PERS and employees' retirement benefits. This report you received today says nothing about holding employees harmless or the issues with PERS in the discussion of staff and the staff's contract for employment. Of course, I've not seen the actual draft agreement. I do hope that the agreement includes language that will protect employees as the governance and employment structure changes.
Are there any other public comments? Bring it back to the board. Is there anything more, any other comments from the board?
Well, just in terms of that comment, is that something that was discussed? I know we had discussed it in subsequent board meetings, that action.
Well, I don't know what the exact language that comes out of the lawyers will be, but as we said, that we know that there will be transition with the City of Santa Cruz, which is what it is, and they're doing research to confirm that, say, employees would be transferred over to a JPA, that the PERS and retirement components would be the same, or even contracting with one of the other jurisdictions. So, I mean, I think this board's made it as clear as possible that the intent isn't to do anything that would harm employees, but I think that it's also reasonable for, you know, staff to recognize that, you know, your paycheck may not come from the City of Santa Cruz moving forward. I mean, after this, it may or may not. And I think that a lot of, in my meetings with the employee unions, it's been hold harmless is defined as having the exact same employer. That's not necessarily what the reality will be moving forward, and that may not be what's most sustainable either for the library as a system. So, you know, the goal here is to make sure that whatever you make, but who's signing the paycheck or who your workers' comp person is may change after the transition is done, and that's the reality of a transition to a different system. But we recognize what people's desires are, and we've definitely heard it. I mean, the board passed a resolution last year to that exact extent. But I think that the employee unions, to be fair, too, need to recognize that this is a transition time, and the goal is to hold harmless doesn't necessarily mean everything that you know and do today will be exactly what you know and do 5 years from now.
There's also a third document. There's the JPA agreement, there's the Library Financing Authority agreement, and then there's a third document, which is basically a contract for employees, because what this does is change the relationship so that the JPA is contracting with one of the entities at this point. It appears to be the City of Santa Cruz at the outset. And the JPA agreement can't cover the kind of detail that's being asked for. The employment contract may get more specific. We haven't seen it yet. It's still being worked on, and lawyers would work on that. But there is that third document that is the actual contract for employment that will get into more details. Exactly what they are or how detailed it is, I don't think any of us know yet. I think you're starting to work on that. But there is that other document. And it's kind of the chicken or the egg. That document needs to be approved by the new board, because it's specifically in the JPA agreement that contract will exist. So while it may be available at the same time that the jurisdictions are approving these other agreements, it won't actually get approved by them. It really can't get approved until the new board is in place. It's kind of a weird kind of situation. I think that's still also being looked at, how that legally plays out. It's kind of a weird thing, but...
just a comment on the status of the
LFA
financial.
So we, the county and the state met last Friday, and made progress. I think we're finalizing the proposal, and they're going to run them past March and Susan. I think we're closer.
So. And the other city managers.
And the city,
well.
City managers, of course. Yeah. But it's been very positive. Carlos and I. Marcus, and so I think we're moving forward in that area too.
Ballpark estimates?
Ballpark estimates in terms of timing? Well, we're hoping to sit down with Susan tomorrow to talk about it with her. So we'll see what kind of feedback we get. And I don't know when Scott and Marcus are going to talk to my team, but hopefully in the near future we can reach some resolution.
The goal was to have that agreement, along with the operating agreement, available at the June board meeting. Whether you'll make it or not, I don't know.
But your horizon is better than
I'm feeling good about it.
Any other discussion?
Has everyone met that never know?
She's going to come to the next board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mean that everyone knows her status and that she's on board and what she's doing and all that stuff?
Well, she, it's what you all approved last month.
I met with her. And
yeah. I don't know what other board. Bruce has met with her. Zach is scheduled to meet with her. I'm not in any control over what she does. She's meeting with staff as well. I've been giving her a lot of information. It's been quite timely. As I clean out stuff, I go, oh, this is interesting. Here, take that. So she's actually, since the operating agreement is pretty far along, there really isn't much for her to do there, and it sounds like for the LFA, for the financing agreement, I think she met with you guys and talked some, but they're also far along, so she's not too involved in that piece at this point. My understanding is she's focusing on kind of an analysis of the library operations and how are we doing. That's my understanding.
I think it would be good, since she was hired, to provide executive transition assistance. Well, she will be in our next meeting, apparently,
yeah.
But that we have, as long as we exist, some progress report from her.
Well, it was our contract.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will let her know that to include a progress report in the next packet as well as her appearance.
And not just I did this, I did that, but a little bit of substance. I did hear indirectly that she, based on her initial interview, she said, you guys have a great system. So that was encouraging.
I think by that June 8th meeting, she will have actually completed that analysis, and because I believe her timetable was to do it by the end of May.
But,
so whether or not, well, the packet's a week later, so it might make it.
But then the thought was she was going to stay on and assist with the recruitment for the new director.
That's my understanding, but the question, that process is not going to start until those agreements are approved. So, and she's really not planning to stay past June, so I'm not sure what there will be for her to do unless, that's going to be up to, I keep looking at Nicole, but it's going to be up to the city and the county to be honest with you, the library is the pass-through on this. I have no supervisory control over her. She's kind of like an independent prosecutor. I wouldn't say that, it's a little harsh, but that kind of, an independent evaluator. So I don't know if Janice knows any more. If she had a conversation with her on Friday, I don't know that if there's anything else you'd
what
add.
What you said is pretty much what I understand. She has a report that will be ready at the end of May. She's working on that. And it really is kind of she's looking at the whole library system
and
we'll
be able to
report back on the
health
library system and any kind of things that she notices
or recommendations she makes. Well, I would just say, but, given just all the balls that are up in the air right now and the level of uncertainty and anxiety and hope for the future and all these other things, I think it's good that there be some reporting back on her activities as well as all these other things, because we want to know what I know that the staff and the public wants to know.
I totally agree. We really appreciate that report. And I'm wondering, I didn't realize board members were meeting with her individually. Would that be possible for the citizen members to set up a meeting with her, or at least me? Is that appropriate?
I haven't.
It's, like I said, I'm not, in I can pass on information, but it's not.
I don't know.
I thought you were going to.
I don't know that she's going to have time. She's only here Thursday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday, and I know she's got some other obligations that she's not even going to be here full weekends. So, Nicole's more in charge of her than I am.
Communicate with her. So I've been communicating a lot with her.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, if there's anyone on the board who would like to meet with
her. She started with governance committee member.
Oh, I see.
Kind of expand. So she's only here on Thursdays and Fridays.
Right.
So her time's kind of limited.
Right.
But if other board members want to meet with her, I can tell her.
Well,
right.
I'd be interested, but I don't want to get in the way
she's
of anything.
With staff,
if
right
it was
here,
really
here,
a matter of meeting with the governance members, that makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was all the elected members.
Right. But basically, Susan Mosier could talk to you about that.
If anyone who wants to communicate with me, okay, all right, any other discussion? This was information only. Yes, so there's no action. Nope. The next item on the agenda is written communications. Any discussion? Yeah, I just got a member. I read the, and I really appreciate these ongoing reports on the incidents that take place in the libraries. And, you know, I think that there's two on here that just particularly stand out. And I don't know what we can do about one for the March 28th incident at the downtown branch. I mean, there was no ban imposed. I know that we gave there was a criminal offense. But
we didn't do a ban. They actually, I talked to the police officer. That person's going away.
Right, but what about even just if there's some, you know, sometimes there's things where there's a release while they're pending the, some of the action, and I would hate to. I think that he should just be on notice. There's some so that there's at least we have some way to go above and beyond on that particular issue, as well as the one from.
Police made it sound like he wasn't getting out.
Well,
it's felony vandalism and.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
And then also the March 31st and April 2nd issue. I don't know if there can be some sort of letter that goes to the VA or something that kind of follows up on the seriousness of this. I mean, people bring families to the library. We want to make sure it's as safe as possible for people.
This was very disturbing. The first one was extremely disturbing. We did talk with the police, and given the situation, without that person filing the complaint, there was absolutely nothing they could do. Now, we did ban them, but we couldn't take any other action. Legally, we can't take any other action. Now, when the second incident happened, and it was the same individual, we did give the police the information on the first person, whatever we had, so that they could talk to that person, the first one, and see if they'd be willing to come forward now that he'd done this.
Yeah, but he was given a one-year ban.
That's the most we can do.
But what other, you know, actions? Were there any other violations, or was there any sort of?
He was arrested.
Okay, but what's going to?
1 year is the most we can impose.
Picking up on that, it's almost one a day. Truly outrageous things.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the library.
Yeah. No, it is.
Memorable in a bad way.
Yeah.
And it just seems like 1 day ban, 3 day ban.
Well, we have to be careful, because if we go too far, then we're gonna get after. If anything at 30 days and up, there's property rights involved, and we could get, if we haven't done if we just jump to 30 days every time, we're not gonna get held up in this if someone takes us to court. If we do the progressive piece, we stand a much better chance of having it stick when it gets into the higher.
I guess my question would be to refer this to, at this point, it's the city attorney's office, and say, can we be a little more rapidly progressive? You know, start at a week, and
we can ask them. We worked with them to work this out, so I mean, it was pretty.
This is.
The other thought I had was, like, if someone like this, Kenneth, you know, gets a 1 year ban here, and, you know, do the other librarians know about it?
Oh, yes, we have a system.
A photograph.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, it goes out on an email. Email, sometimes several a day. So-and-so's been banned, and here's their picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why this file helps too, because someone could go in and look and see when are they allowed back in, if they are.
You know, for the repeat, you have these by date. I don't know if there's any way, like when you, the name, I don't know how, if it's helpful to access when you have the name, you know, you get one name and then you have the dates on the interior so that you're identifying, especially with some of these multiple violations, you can have it organized in a way where you can see who they are and the dates they did.
Gabe is sending out a finder to each branch.
Okay.
All organized so that they can easily find out who's banned, how long, what they've done.
Everything. Okay.
He's really got it.
And the branches do post the photographs in the staff areas so that...
And they do recognize them. They do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they do.
We all do. Yeah. I also just want to mention that a lit team member who's a part-time person, Patrick Landis, he's proposed creating a problem patron database. And I know there was talk of that in the past, and so I've asked him to prepare an executive summary for senior management so that we could get buy-in approval of whoever the board is, if it's not you guys. And I think that would be really a good way to go, because then we could pair that with photos and they could find it all in one place, exactly what David was talking about. So,
and I would just say run that one by the city attorney.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you have
we
to be...
We have problems with that kind of idea.
Yes.
It would be incredibly helpful. And then the other thing I wanted to say was that it's so outrageous. And, you know, I'm here in downtown and I just want to applaud our downtown staff, because they are involved in all of these horrible things that happen, and I know it takes a toll on them, and I just wanted to recognize them for being steadfast in the face of some really awful things.
What I find extremely disturbing is that it's not the same individuals over and over again. Sometimes it is, but it's how many different ones. I mean, we put one away for a year, and then we just get another one the next day. I mean, it's just, it's a countywide problem that, you know, needs to be, needs a bigger solution than the library throwing people out.
Do you guys connect with the county's MOST program or mental health?
Yes. Yeah, the downtown, yes. We've got the downtown social worker person.
Yeah, but also just the county mental health.
When the police come, they know these. They know them. They know them. We're not the only place they're a problem.
Any other discussion on written communication? Next meeting of the board is Monday, June 8th at 6:30 p.m. at Scotts Valley.
Yeah.